Good morning. For the last little while, we've been talking about music and how music affects our worship and other things. But I think before I start this morning, I want to give one of you a moment or two. Something very special and very important has happened, and I want to give Jackie a chance to talk about that. Jackie, you want your minute or two?
I told Mike as I walked up, I said, this is show and tell in school. I just want to piggyback on something that was just said, that I am filled with joy. It's a strange kind of joy, and but it's all positive. And as Bill was saying, we have been learning about the lessons from that we can learn from hymns and also from the Bible. And when I was a Sunday school teacher for some 8 years, I used to tell my children, which my son was one of them, that the Bible is a book of real short stories. And there was a point in my life about 10 years ago when something had happened to me, and people had told a great deal of things that weren't true, and I was really hurt and had took all that hurt in, and I just wanted to lay down one night and just cry and say, God, I didn't do any of those things, and, you know, just have a real pity party. And to this day, I have not been able to cry, because the thought that came into my mind was, well, Jesus didn't do the things they said about him either, and they crucified him. So if they crucified him, why are you going to lay here and cry?
Can you speak a little louder?
Yes. I said, the thought came into my mind that while I wanted to have my pity party, I realized that Jesus didn't do the things that they said about him either. In essence, they lied about him. And he was crucified. So why are you entitled to a pity party? So I didn't have one. The other thing, I participated in the intergenerational dinner Friday night, and was out late, and I had a 6 o'clock flight, had to be at the airport at 5 Saturday morning to fly to Fort Benning, Georgia, and flew straight down, got there about 12, hugged my son, and turned immediately around and drove 11 and a half hours back, got back last night about 1:30. So I had a good deal of time to you know, think and reflect. And it hit me, I said, you know, because I raised holy heck 3 years ago, because when they recruited my son, he was an honor student at VCU for 2 years, and they misled him and said, oh, you can join and you won't have to go to combat. Well, these teens that have all the sense and all the answers, they believe something like that. So I was able to get Brigadier General involved and clean up the recruitment office here, not for my son, but for everyone's son. I am not one who seeks war, but if our young people make decisions based on true facts, that's one thing. If they make a decision based on distorted facts, I have a problem with that. So that positive change affected the recruitment for lots of other people. I seek peace, not war. There's a saying, you are who you were when you were 16. I was wearing the long maxi dress or whatever and talking about peace and Vietnam. I did not approve of the war, but I supported our soldiers. And I didn't realize that the Christmas that I was 16, I stood up in a small black Baptist church not far from here, Westwood Baptist Church, and said, look, we need to take a moment and pray for our soldiers in Vietnam. I did not know that I would be standing here today saying again, we need to pray for all of our soldiers, women and men, not Vietnam, but this war that's in the Middle East. And now I think I have a feeling, a real feeling, of how Mary felt when she really realized the purpose of her son, who was willing to follow his father's instructions and lay his life down for the world. Not my son, my only son, but he has caused me to reflect that the purpose that we understood we had in terms of a civic duty to society and to this country, to support each other and to stand for something. I raised him in the church. He was a member of Billy Chenault's Bible study group for 3 years and loved it. I have not been a happy camper. I am learning to be a happy camper with all the other mothers and fathers who have loved ones, sons, nieces, nephews that are, you know, in harm's way today. Even though I wanted something different. He chose not only the Army, but to be Special Forces, a Ranger. He has his airborne wings, and he is a sharpshooter, and just received orders last week. He's going to be deployed tomorrow, so that's why I had to drive down there. And I just, you know, we go through our day. Life is so busy. We take so much for granted. I have been able, you know, you think you're able to control a lot of stuff, and boy, did I fight. I got congressmen involved. He was supposed to be deployed 3 years ago, and he's just getting deployed. And I was about, he's also a paramedic, and I was about to say, okay, time for you to get on your letter writing campaign to the congressman again. And then I am so tired, and I had 3 cases of shingles before I said, wait a minute, Jackie. Who really do you believe controls this situation and the final outcome? You going to keep him here safe and you got it? Or God can take him over there and bring him back safe? I say, God's got the control. Leave it alone. And so with that, I will just say, I want to read half line. The hymn, they always say you can tell women, and probably men too, where they are by what they're singing. There's a sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the spirit of the God, Lord. There's a sweet expression on his face, and I know it's the presence of the Lord. There are blessings you cannot receive, and you know him in his full until you know him in his fullness and believe. There are one to profit when you say, I am going to walk with Jesus all the way. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Sweet Heavenly Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, you're right here with us. Fill us with your love. I raised him in the church. We come from 5 generations of pastors, and he probably joined the service because I was his Sunday school teacher for 8 years, a fall festival chair, homeroom person. I monitor high school halls. I helped with the senior prom decorating, so we had to take it down. So he probably figured that was the only way he could get away from it. And he is a little reluctant to give me the address because I guess he might fear I'd be like the lady in the commercial that runs on the football field out right to the base. But it's an honor to understand God's purpose, not only for me, but for others. And I beg you, it's not about me. It's not about my son. I happened to have flown down yesterday with a young lady who was 25, and her 20-year-old brother was in Special Forces. So we have a lot of 19 and 20-year-olds, those kind of people that we're trying to reach. If we can take 30 seconds each Sunday or each day and sincerely pray for their safety, and that this war too shall pass and bring many of them home. Because when I look at the pictures, I've looked at them for 3 years, it's hurt me to my heart. Now I join that country club. I am going to pass around to put a face, and I know there are other faces too, and just substitute those faces. This was his senior picture at Douglas Freeman and 2006. This is who they happen to be sending, to, as far as I'm concerned, to fight. This is what they liked. State championship twice. Someone who God has allowed the single mother to allow him to go to Paris, France, Spain, and every time the school wanted to go somewhere, he went there, and he wonders now why mother's broken, has financial problems. This is him at a athletic banquet. Of course, you know I was going to be there and help bring the food. And last but not least, this is another picture of who they are sending, my baby. And I know he's God's baby first, but, you know, I'm claiming it anyway. But in 2005, he got his airborne wings, and I didn't like my baby jumping out of planes because he may fall and hurt himself. So I just want to thank you all. And if you can just pass those and put them on the back table there, I'll pick them up. And please pray for all of our young people that are fighting so we can be here this morning.
Many of you will know that Lee Coble's son has deployed fairly recently. He's come out of training. I think he's on his way to Korea. You look at the list in I think it's the Spirit that comes out monthly. Is that right? I looked at the one that the Cochran's had this morning, and there's about 16 or 17 names on there. There need to be a few more. Chance will be one of these that does that. Let's just stop right now and have a moment of prayer. Our Father, you know where our soldiers are. You know where our sailors, our Marines, the ones in the Air Force and the Coast Guard, all the others who put their life on the line to protect our freedom and to protect our liberty and to show the world what a soldier, what a Marine, what a sailor should be like. Chance now joins that group. So does Lee's son, Christopher. So do so many others that are connected with people in this room. We pray today for their safety. We pray today for the mission that they have to accomplish so that peace will come and that they may come home because your peace has been placed in that tough and difficult place. We pray that your Spirit would find a way to melt the hearts of those who oppose peace and who don't want to see liberty. We pray that you would teach us how to use our liberty in a way that will show people more of you and less of us. And we pray all this today in your son's name. I thought that might be a reasonably good use of some time this morning.
Yes.
We have been...
people are asking his name.
Chance.
Chance is his whole name.
Chance
Allen Davis.
And Bill, also, I would just like, this is very fitting. We have a heartbeat for the servicemen ministry in the church. And the two people that lead this ministry, one of them has had a tragedy in her family, Georgia Yule, and the other one is Beth Stuhlman. She has been sick and not able to carry the ministry as they have wanted to, and they're asking for volunteers, whether you write cards, make cards, or, you know, just anything that could put a workshop together. And I have told them that I would be willing to plan a workshop for them as soon as they give me the information on what they want. So keep in mind that we do need to help these two people out.
When we left off from looking at hymns and praise songs themselves to take a few weeks to look at how music shows up in the Bible, we were dealing with praise songs, and I want to return to that this morning. Again, I want to read a couple, give you a chance to respond, and then move through and see what we can learn from some of these. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Comments. It's a different way of thinking about the old hymn, Holy, 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 that may have been more significant for us, but it carries some of that same thought.
It's our spiritual eyes.
Mm-hmm.
put you in the right frame for worship.
Very much so. I found myself thinking about one of the mottos of our church in probably the most strange place to be thinking about that particular motto. You may remember that one of the things that we talk about is transform lives. Last night at 8 o'clock, we watched the curtain go up on a Broadway musical called Wicked. Yeah, it was very good. It was very good. It's very interesting how it ended. They didn't capture our motto because they were talking about a different kind of relationship, but it was very interesting. The two principal characters, I'll let you go to the play and figure out which one's which. The two principal characters sang to each other, "Because I have known you, I have changed. I don't know if I've changed for the better, but I've changed for good." Do you hear that play on words? What we're talking about is people who meet the Lord, and who meet the Lord sometimes as they see Him living in us, and who are changed both for the better and for good. I like that little play on words that they put in there. Try this one. In your name, there is hope when all seems lost. There is freedom in the power of the cross. Let the world see in your name. There is truth where logic fails, understanding that makes sense of our days. You are worthy. Hear the song of creation roar. We are crying out as one to you, our God. Now show us the way of your love, and we will come running. All for Jesus' name, your love displayed. We are alive in the mystery. All for sinners' gain, your life you gave. We'll sing your praise for eternity. In your name, there is mercy without end, overtaking us now and time again. Let the world see in your name there is love that never fails, and the promise that your word will prevail, for you are worthy. Did you hear that phrase? All for sinners gained, your life you gave. We're coming up on Easter, and I'm starting to think a little bit about that time. And I'm finding as I read these and filter through that, some of our songs talk about the mystery of what happened at that time. Some of you are aware, I suspect, of a series of books written by Tim LaHaye, and I think the guy's name was Jenkins. I can't remember his first name.
Jerry.
Okay, I think of Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, and I knew that wasn't right. They wrote a series called Left Behind. I don't know if Tim LaHaye is in the process of writing another series. I don't know. But I stumbled across an audio book. I've got about 20 minutes, 25 minutes driving to work every day, so I very often listen to a book for a couple of weeks. And the audio book was called Matthew's Story. And Tim LaHaye has written this. You read it through, and a few things great, because he knows Scripture as well as I do, but he's adjusted a few things just to make it all work in a dramatic setting. But it's very interesting to see that take on how the disciples saw the process that led to and beyond the crucifixion. And we forget that sometimes because we stand on the other side of the cross when we look back. We forget what it looked like while it was still there. I've talked to my mom sometimes about what it was like in the middle of World War II when it wasn't clear who was going to win. You look back at World War II, now it seems like it's clear who was going to win, but it wasn't. The movie Patton, I think, has this wonderful line in it where Patton says to one of the other generals, "I think Ike has figured out we could still lose this war." And that's a powerful line. As I look at these, I find this song. The title of that one was In the Mystery. I found a second one because it was the wrong one, and my eyes caught it. It's simply called Mystery. A child was born on Christmas Day, born to save the world. But long before the world began, he knew his death was sure, the pain and strife secured. Mystery, how he came to be a man. but greater still how his death was in his plan. God predestined that his son would die, and he still created man. What love is this, that his death was in his hands? The Christmas trees, they glow so bright with presents all around. But Christmas brought a tree of life with blood that sacrificed the greatest gift in life. Mystery, how he came to be a man, but greater still, how his death was in the plan. I am just a man. I cannot begin to comprehend when you, God, look into these traitors' eyes. What do you see that justifies the land? What love is this, that his death was in his hands? Those are powerful words. What comments do you have? What comments do you have? Here's another one that plumbs some of those same depths. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, and let me see. Let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, and for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And here's the verse that really hits. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. I will never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. These songs, to me, capture what we're talking about as we approach Easter. And each year, leaders in our church try to give us some songs and some words to help us understand this. Those of you who've been to church this morning already heard something. It wasn't the first time I'd heard it, but it's still powerful. Those of you who haven't gone yet, watch for this. Jim Elliot, a martyred missionary, made a statement in his journal a month or two before he was killed. Did you hear the pastor read that today? A person is not a fool who what? Gives up what he cannot keep to obtain what he cannot lose. The mystery of the cross is tied up in that. This one may catch your thoughts right now. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is for me to be heard. What I need is to hear what you say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you are in this place. Let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know that you are in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Ralph.
You reminded me of a conversation I had with a school superintendent this morning. I had talked to her children, and she said she taught them to do genuine listening. And I said, what does that mean? She said, it was with the ear, with the eye, and with the heart. I just put that up.
Genuine listening with the eye, with the ear, and with the heart. There's a place in Deuteronomy. Some of you know Deuteronomy. It's an early book. The law has just been given. It's actually being given to the next generation. It's the second time of the giving of the law. The first generation heard the law. Now the second generation is hearing the law. That's the book of Deuteronomy. And the heart of the law is obedience to God. And the sign of that obedience is circumcision. And you know what Deuteronomy says? Circumcise your heart. Way back there, the scripture writers were catching. It's not something physical and external, it's internal. You think you can say something? Can you say the words, "You reign"? Can you try to say that?
You reign.
Can you say it a second time?
You reign.
Can you now say the words, "Your name"? And then that Jesus reigns. This isn't going to make sense until we get there. Right? Let's practice that. You reign. You reign. Your name. That Jesus reigns. Now I'm going to fill in between and let's see how this works. All right? Even before there was a drop in the ocean, even before there was a star in the sky, even before the world was put in motion, you were on your throne. You were on your throne.
You reign.
Glory in the highest.
You reign.
Let creation testify by
your name.
Every knee will bow and every tongue proclaim that Jesus reigns. Let's try it one more time. You reign. Glory in the highest. You reign. Let creation testify by your name. Every knee will bow and every tongue proclaim that Jesus reigns. Even before your hand made the heavens, even before the breath of all mankind, even before we had to be forgiven, you were on your throne. You were on your throne.
Amen.
Glory in the highest.
Amen.
Let creation testify by
your name.
Every knee will bow, every tongue proclaim.
Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, today, and forever, you are God who was and is to come.
Amen.
Glory in the highest.
Amen.
Let creation testify.
Amen.
Every knee will bow and every tongue proclaim. When you put the time in that music puts in, you can almost hear the chance to think about what you've said before you hear that reply. The splendor of a king clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. How great. How great is our God. From age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Say with me. How great is our God. How great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing. How great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing. How great is our God. Some of you will know that I'm preparing monthly for what are supposed to be previews of the next month of Bible reading. People are reading the Bible through in a year, and each month I'm trying to give you a look ahead. There's something coming, and I want to sort of preview this just a little bit. I don't know when I'm going to say this. I'm not going to say this for the April preview. It'll come somewhat later. But there's a few of you in this room who are in this program of reading the Bible through, right? Raise your hands if you're in that group. There's, what, a dozen or so, maybe? Okay. Do you remember slogging through Exodus? Do you remember when God was giving Moses the directions for all the things to build for worship? You remember that? Do you remember seeing dimensions? Depending on the translation, you might have read dimensions in cubits, or you might have read dimensions in feet. Let me help you just a little bit. A cubit was supposed to be the length from the king's elbow to the middle tip of the king's finger on the right arm. Now, trouble was, when kings started changing, that distance would change, and so it kind of got standardized after a while, but it's about 18 inches. Foot and a half, roughly. Okay. Did you notice anything curious about those dimensions? I should have said something about it at the time, but I couldn't say everything, and I thought, this is one I'll set aside. But I just want to tell you, if you go back and look through Scripture, there are maybe as many as a dozen things, maybe a few more, that God describes to somebody, here's how you build it, and provides the dimensions. He provides the dimensions for the ark to be built. And he provided the dimensions for the ark of the covenant to be built, and for the temple to be built, and all these things. All these things are being done. Do you realize in all of those dimensions, there's only one time, one thing, where what is being built is a perfect cube? In every other case, it is longer than it is wide, or it is taller or shorter than it is deep. There's always more than one distance involved. Many times there's a cross section that's square, but then it's rectangular. It's longer or it's shorter or something like that. One time and one time only, what is built is a perfect cube. It's the Holy of Holies. When Solomon builds the temple, it's in 1 Kings where you'll see it. I went back and looked. It implies it in Exodus, but it doesn't say it. When Solomon builds the temple under God's direction, he builds the temple with the Holy of Holies as a perfect cube. In all of the Bible, there's one other perfect cube. You know what it is? Tilly does. It's not 30 feet on a side, is it? If you measure the thing in a Bible that translated into modern measurements, it says when the holy city comes down from heaven, like a bride adorned for her husband, the holy city is 1,500 miles on a side, and it's a perfect cube. So, is heaven 1,500 miles on a side and a perfect cube? Number one, I don't know. But number two, what is God saying when he inspires his people to write that? He's saying there's enough room for everybody, and we all live in the Holy of Holies. What's in the Holy of Holies? God's presence. There's two things that Revelation talks about. It talks about the place where we will live, and it talks about some of the things that are there. One of the things that's there is a river. Remember what they call that river? I had not noticed that until recently. They don't just call it a river. They have a special name for it. It's the River of Life. And on the banks of the River of Life are what? Trees of Life. 12 of them, one for every month. And on the Tree of Life is the fruit that brings healing to the world. I want to read you two more praise songs. That's probably all we'll have time for. My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no end. It overwhelms me, covers my sin. And each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. because your grace still amazes me. O patient Savior, you make me whole. You're the author and the healer of my soul. What can I give you, Lord? What can I say? I know there's no way to repay you, only to offer my praise. For your grace still amazes me. Your love is a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. It's deeper. It's wider. It's stronger. It's higher. Deeper, wider, stronger, higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees because your grace still amazes me. And then there's one that I think has taken on real special meaning for me. I don't know if it has for you yet. I suspect if you think about it, it will. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, like the little girl? Or in honor of you, be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun, S-O-N. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever and forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Easter is when it came. But it had been talked about and foretold all the way through the Old Testament. Easter is when it came. But there's a time when we have to either claim or reject what's offered. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. The heart of man cannot imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. I can only imagine. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, this morning we come and praise you for who you are. We praise you for all you do. And we ask you, as you've taught us to ask you, will you come and walk beside us and give us the light of your glory? Teach us to be the people who respond to you in love and in obedience. Teach us to be the people through whom others can see your glory and be drawn not to us but to you. Teach us to be those who are peacemakers, hungry for righteousness, ready to be servants, ready to be your hands in this world. Teach us that we are not fools when we give up what we cannot keep in order to gain what we cannot lose. For we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.